Napa know-how.
There are lots of amazing cars on the road, but perhaps none more amazing than the paid-off car. It may not be pretty, but the price is right. Heck, if you keep that thing running, it'll actually start paying you. Because with Napa Rewards, for every $100 you spend, you'll get $5 off. So keep your car running longer, stronger with Napa Rewards and watch the savings start rolling in. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
Trade deadline edging ever closer. We'll talk about some of the latest moves around the league. Don't involve the Grizzlies, not yet, but we'll discuss whether that may change in the Grizzlies. Will they dip their toe into the water between now and tomorrow at 2 o'clock Central Time? We'll do all of that and maybe a little bit more. You are Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Locked On Grizzlies is here on this hump day. And again, as I mentioned, we are getting close to the trade deadline. Things are happening, but not necessarily for the Grizzlies, at least not as I tape this. And that is very late on Tuesday evening. Stuff can change, so perhaps it will have by the time you hear this, but I'm not so sure that that will be the case. We'll talk about whether that will change, though, and whether the Grizzlies will get after it. We'll also talk about some of the things that have happened around the league. Most notably for the Grizzlies, the deal involving the Lakers and the Rockets and Lou Williams, which is, I think, bad news for the Grizzlies when it comes to the playoffs and the possibility of ending up playing the Rockets in a series. But I'll discuss that here momentarily. I want to say a big thank you to you guys for always supporting the podcast, downloading it, leaving reviews, all that stuff. It really does make a huge difference. I appreciate it so much. And it's been, you know, it's hard to do these things without your support. Just, it doesn't happen. I couldn't do it. So thank you so much for that. And thanks for continuing to listen and your continued support of our sponsors and of me and all that stuff. I just want to say thanks because it's really cool. And I appreciate it an awful lot. Now to the news and the big story from today in the trade deadline. Obviously, rumors are continuing to go on and on and on. Players are tweeting out emoji like it's going out of style. Sometimes, I think, for real. Sometimes just to mess with people. Chandler Parsons is doing Q&A again on Twitter for some reason. I don't really understand it, but that's the way he really enjoys spending his time, doing stuff on social media, so God bless him. All of this is going on, and there was a big shakeup over in the Lakers front office. Magic Johnson taking over as president of basketball operations. They sweep out everybody. Jim Buss gone. Fired by his sister. Mitch Kupchak gone. Out. Even the longtime PR guy, who's one of the most well-regarded PR guys in the business, John Black, out. In Magic Johnson and in Rob Pelinka, the agent for Kobe Bryant at one time. And his group also represents James Harden, which is interesting because of the very first deal that he didn't specifically do. Magic Johnson probably was the one who actually did this, but I'm sure Pelinka had some involvement in it because he's going to be taking over as GM in short order as soon as he can legally divest himself from all of his agency business, including being guys' agents and all that stuff. That's kind of the trend in the league now, by the way, it seems like, with agents taking over in some of these front office roles. It's kind of a natural fit. They have a lot of contact with other GMs and other ownership folks, front office folks around the league. So it's kind of a, hand in glove kind of thing. Relatively new, but it makes a lot of sense. And it looks like that's what's going to happen in Los Angeles. But anyway, the deal that gets done is Lou Williams goes to the Rockets for Corey Brewer and a first-round pick. The Rockets' first-round pick this year, unprotected. Not that it really needs any sort of protection because it's going to be a very low first-round pick, given their record, probably you know, 24, 25. Could be even worse than that, potentially. But, again, let me say that again. Corey Brewer and a first-round pick for Lou Williams. Now, bear in mind this very important detail. Well, there's two really important details here. Number one is that the Lakers have to make sure that their pick stays in the top three or else they lose it to Philadelphia. So the Lakers are doing okay in that regard, but you could always use help. And if they really want to make sure that it ends up in the top three, then they're going to have to finish, you know, with the worst record in the NBA. So you need to tank a little bit to make sure that you get the job done there. Number two is that Corey Brewer still has 2 years, well, this year and next year on his deal, about $7 million, a little over $7 million per. And he's just a really bad basketball player at this point. He offers you very little, which makes him perfect for the Lakers, really, because you can plug him in and immediately get much worse. If he plays the same role Lou Williams does, you'll get worse, and the Lakers are already really bad. So beautiful from their perspective to make that pick even worse and therefore increase their chance of actually keeping that pick. Then from the Rockets' perspective, though, and this is where it kind of comes into the play for the Grizzlies, this is a rough deal for the Grizzlies because Lou Williams, as we talked about on the podcast yesterday with Matt Herdlicka, Lou Williams is an elite scorer in the league this year and has been over the years. Now there is some argument as to whether his flailing around works in the postseason. There is some argument about whether his attempts to draw fouls is over the top and just gets ignored in the more, you know, the serious time of year. That's fair because he does do a lot of that stuff. He's a little overdramatic. But man, the guy is an excellent pick-and-roll player, as we talked about yesterday. Excellent pick-and-roll player. And he comes into a team that loves nothing more than running 50,000 pick-and-rolls, spread pick-and-roll, and just, you know, create, do whatever. It means that the Houston Rockets are going to be able to have, at all times on the court, throughout the entire ballgame, they will have at least one, and sometimes two, like, elite pick-and-roll guards out there in Harden and Lou Williams running things. They may be able to play them together, I don't know, but certainly they'll stagger them and make sure that one of them is on the court pretty much all the time. And from the Grizzlies' perspective, if you remember the last time that they played Houston, how that spread pick-and-roll really just picked them apart, it's a tough thing for them to cover. It's not an ideal fit given the personality of the Grizzlies roster right now. It's kind of, yeah, hit or miss. Not sure if they're really locked in on that defensive, you know, effort and, you know, all that stuff. And then, you know, this is a team that has shifted a little bit and the personnel are kind of in flux. And, you know, that means if you've got that stretch four and you've got a bunch of guys out there that can really shoot it in addition to having a guard that can run pick and roll and orchestrate the whole thing, that's a really tough thing for this Grizzlies team to cover, as you saw the last time the Grizzlies played the Rockets. So I think it makes an already pretty bad matchup. You might think that the Rockets, maybe they choke, maybe they do have some deficiencies, but I still think it's not an ideal matchup for the Grizzlies. I'd much rather see the Jazz or the Clippers than I would the Rockets, and especially now. I would certainly rather see those teams than the Rockets because I think this makes the Rockets an even tougher matchup. And remember, Lou Williams is signed for this year and next. So Brewer was signed, by the way, for this year and next too. So it's a great job of getting off that money. There was reportedly a deal that they were looking for, a similar deal with the Washington Wizards to go get Lou Williams, but they would have had to give up a pick in the process. But then Washington wanted them to take on Andrew Nicholson's contract as well, which has same $7 million or so, but it's over 3 years. So you have, you know, an extra couple of years on top of that, and that's something the Lakers Magic and Rob Pelinka and they're whoever is actually running the show over there now just did not want to take that extra bit of contract on, and I can't really blame them for that. So I think it's a good deal for both teams. It makes some sense for both teams, and I think it's a bad deal for the Grizzlies because it makes, again, another rival within the division and, you know, a rival that you have a decent chance of seeing in the postseason. The way things are going to likely shake out, the Grizzlies have every opportunity to play against the Rockets. I think it makes them better. So that's really tough. That's tough to me. That's tough news for the Grizzlies. Now, what, if anything, will the Grizzlies do in response to that or anything else? Well, as you know, the Grizzlies are sitting right now with 14 players on the roster. There is no 15th player because Tony Douglas, his 10-day contract expired. So he would almost certainly be re-signed on Thursday if nothing else happens between now and the trade deadline. But I would assume that the Grizzlies won't do that until then, or when they do, if it's before the trade deadline, you can probably assume that that means that the doors are officially shut and that they're not going to do anything else. So that just kind of remains to be seen, just hanging out there. That spot is technically at this point, though, open. Now, you know, Lou Williams is off the board. He was probably, I mean, almost certainly he was going to be too much for the Grizzlies to really go after, considering they don't have their pick. And it was looking more and more likely as time went on that the Lakers were going to be able to get a first-round pick, and indeed they did. They had multiple teams offering first. So, yeah, that pretty much eliminated the Grizzlies from any kind of contention of Lou Williams right there. He, to me, would have been the most ideal guy, and it's a shame that, you know, one of your competitors and a direct competitor ended up getting him, but that's the way it goes sometimes. So now you move on down the list, guys that we have discussed and that are still very much out there. Of the names that have been talked about, Darren Collison, I think, is the most obvious one at this point, a guy who would certainly improve the Grizzlies and would be able to do everything that they need from a backup point guard, can shoot, can run an offense, you know, is not the absolute best defender, but is adequate in that regard. And, you know, you could certainly play Mike Conley alongside of him. He would take, you know, so much pressure off of Conley, and he would engender a lot more confidence than, you know, in my mind at least, than going with Tony Douglas for the rest of the season. So, you know, it's not like it's an absolute no-brainer. It's not a, you know, you don't go get Darren Collison if the cost is too high, but if you can do it for, and, you know, what the Kings want will depend on a lot of things, but my guess would be that given their situation right now, they would be happy to get just a second-round pick for the guy. And, you know, while the Grizzlies have an asset that is changing in value in that that Heat second-round pick that has those protections on it, it was, you know, basically top 40 protected, I guess. So, for, you know, but if it falls beyond that, then it would be conveyed. And that seems to be the case with the Heat recent, you know, they were pretty bad for a long time, and then they went on that 13-game winning streak, and now all of a sudden the value of that pick is in question. So, you know, what will the Grizzlies be able to cobble together? They could find a first or a second round pick of some sort, I would imagine, to give over to the Kings. They could throw in, you know, Jarrell Martin. You could throw in Troy Daniels potentially in a deal like that. I don't know. As we've talked about with Matt yesterday, Vince Carter's name could come up. I just think that that's the most logical place to keep looking over in Sacramento, because they have such an obvious motivation to do these deals and to make something happen before the trade deadline. It's almost certain that he's going to be moved. So if he's going to be moved and he meets that need, then the Grizzlies would be the place that you would expect to look. Now, there have been, in what we've seen in the last, you know, 12 to 24 hours, with regard to rumors is that everyone right now is talking, but there's not a tremendous amount that's getting done. But every indication is that it's going to start getting done very soon, that teams are sifting through the offers, figuring out what they want to do. The market was certainly changed with the Boogie Cousins deal. Ramona Shelburne tweeted out that, you know, the market has been depressed by this a little bit because, you know, you got such a low price on Boogie Cousins that, you know, now teams are going to have to figure out, you know, what you want a first round pick for, you know, player X when, you know, DeMarcus Cousins. Basically, you only got one first round pick for DeMarcus Cousins. That's, you know, that's the tough thing. So if the Nets are wanting two first round picks for Brooke Lopez, for example, and they were, then, well, I mean, you know, clearly Boogie Cousins is much better than Brooke Lopez, and you only got one first for him. So that immediately undercuts his value. You know, guys like Julius Okafor is that they are going to be traded at some point. So I think we're in a little bit of a holding pattern while some of these offers kind of get sorted through. And I don't necessarily think that you know, anything is imminent from the Grizzlies' perspective, but I do think some of those probably will have to kind of sort themselves out before the Grizzlies are going to get into it. They are not, it doesn't strike me that the Grizzlies would be one of those teams that's going to be a primary mover. It's going to be one of those that's going to dictate where the market is. The Grizzlies do have a need, but it's not a need that's so advanced. And really, more to the point, whether the, depending on even how, it's all well and good to look at the need and figure out what that is, but you have to have assets. You have to have something to move. And that's where the Grizzlies really kind of fall short. They just don't have a lot compared to some of these other teams, you know, particularly the ones that have firsts that are dangling them out there. You know, that's that those are going to trump whatever offer the Grizzlies can throw together. Shelvin Mack's name in Utah has been mentioned as a guy that a couple teams have been after. He would make some sense, you know, for the Grizzlies, depending on what happens in Minnesota. If Tyus Jones shakes free, he's a name to watch, because they, you know, apparently they're trying to sniff around Derrick Rose, and so I don't know what that means for their point guard rotation going forward, but, you know, if he could shake loose, that would be a good acquisition for the Grizzlies. It would make some sense, certainly, you know, going forward. You know, there are other guys, you know, depending on what, like, for example, even Langston Galloway, who the Kings acquired as part of the Boogie Cousins trade, if he ends up getting waived, as some said he might, or bought out, or in otherwise hits the market, you know, he's a guy that would be an upgrade over Tony Douglas. I think to me, you know, that's my goal. That's purely me. That doesn't reflect what the organization's going to do. I have no idea whether they are extremely motivated or not. I suspect it's more along the lines of mildly motivated to make themselves better by improving on that position. But I think that's the most pressing thing for the Grizzlies right now, is to figure that out. You know, some of this also has to do with how you're going to sort out your future. You got to have pathways to succeed. Yeah, I think the Grizzlies should be looking to move Jarrell Martin right now for that reason. I don't think he has a pathway to succeed. And right now you can still move him while he may have some value as a tantalizing prospect or a possibility for a team. He's still young enough and still inexperienced enough that another team may feel like they can get something more out of him. And that's a perfect position for the Grizzlies to be in. From what we have seen of Jarrell Martin, I think it's fair to say it's still very much up in the air what kind of player he's even going to be. If you wait too long, though, you risk running into something that we've seen from Boston and Denver, and we've seen some other teams in the past where, you know, you just don't get off your assets at all, and you end up squandering them because teams look around and realize you have way too many guys in a certain position, or you have not had enough confidence in this guy to play him, and it's now in his fourth year. You know, how much value is a guy like that really going to have around the league? It can be a little bit of a deceptive thing for you to look around and look on your roster and say, oh, we got all these young guys, and oh, they got all this and that, and we got to wait, and really, we got to wait for the right move. it can be deceiving because you wait for that right move and you wait and you wait and you wait and it never comes, and you end up wasting this talent. It just you can't keep it all on your team. And that's all sort of meant to get to the point of, I just don't see any minutes for Jarrell Martin, so you might as well move him. And if you can move him, if you make the decision to move him, then you have to figure out what the best plan is. And this makes some sense, trying to go and use him and another contract, whoever that may be, to upgrade in your point guard position. I think that's one you could do. You could also wait, and the Grizzlies will I'm sure, possibly do the idea of waiting until the buyout market actually comes to fruition. Just so you know, teams that players have to be free agents on March 1st in order to be able to be added to a team's playoff roster. So that's why you buy these guys out. It's a situation where, you know, typically you're talking about an expiring contract, and a guy is going to be out anyway. Like Tyreek Evans, for example, could be bought out because he's got that contract, and the Kings are going to have to pay it anyway, so they can find a way to save a few million, and Tyreek can get his money straight up and then go and sign somewhere else. Then that's why you do a buyout, and there will be a few of those. I don't know if Andrew Bogut, he was certainly going to be one of those, but now the Mavericks have recovered over the last month and a half and are playing decent basketball, so maybe he's not a buyout candidate at this point. Deron Williams is being rumored to be on the move from Dallas. I don't know that Dallas is really going to push for that eighth playoff spot. I don't know if that's going to make a huge difference for them, you know, going down the line. So the Grizzlies, though, face that dilemma of how much do you want to push the chips in? How much do you really want to go after it? And I think the answer is not very much. They're not going to do anything that's going to necessitate them making a huge, risky move. I don't see that happening. One little thing that was interesting, I thought, from Zach Lowe's piece yesterday about the trade deadline, is that the NBA projects the cap to flatten out over the next couple of years. It will go up to $100 million or so. Right now it's at 94. It'll go up to 100 next year and stay at 100 the year after that, according to their projections, which will shake things up a fair bit, because at one time that projection for next year was quite a bit higher. I want to say it was like 107 or 108, and then it was revised back down a few months ago to like 102. Now it's been revised back down again, closer to 100, as the adjustments for some of these contracts and some of the revenues and things start to trickle in. The NBA sends those figures out to teams so they can start to prepare for what they're going to do in the long term. But from the Grizzlies' perspective, if it's just 100 over the next 2 years, you'll see the proportion of the cap that's taken up by Mike, Mark, and Chandler Parsons rise a fair bit, to the point where you're getting around 80% of your cap taken up by those three guys. It also could potentially throw a little wrinkle into the re-signing of Jermichael Green. You know, he's going to be a restricted free agent. He'll get, I would imagine, an offer sheet somewhere, unless the Grizzlies can, you know, negotiate a deal with him without doing that. But, you know, if he signs somewhere else, you know, we talked about 4-40, 4-50, somewhere in that neighborhood. That cap number makes it even trickier than to try to fit deals for Zach and Tony and, you know, maybe even Vince Carter. It could, those deals and those negotiations could be trickier than you think for that reason, because if they go with any kind of years at all, it's going to start to really eat into what is very limited space to begin with. So, you know, that's something to keep an eye on as well with regard to this, and maybe that makes them more likely to trade Jermichael. I doubt it, but, you know, that could be a consideration in that deal. But those are the kinds of things that are always out there that you have to kind of keep an eye on, in addition to the player moves, because a lot of times they're motivated by stuff like that. So to wrap it up from the Grizzlies' perspective, still all is very, very still. Nothing much happening, but they do have feelers out. They are, I'm sure, looking with an idea of a more limited budget than many other teams when it comes to making these kinds of moves. So just keep an eye out. We'll talk about it more tomorrow on the show with Joe Mullinex, who's going to join us from Grizzly Bear Blues. Excited to talk to Joe for the first time on this pod. I've been on his pod quite a few times, but he has not been on this one yet, but that will change for tomorrow. Thanks so much for joining me here on Locked On Grizzlies. As always, you can check me out 7 to 10, Wolo and Peter in the morning, Real Sports Talk, Sports 56877 FM. Check out Numbers Game in the commercial appeal. And you can check us out on Facebook as well. Search for Locked On Grizzlies or go to facebook.com/LockedOnGrizzlies. For those of you, of course, that are big fans of the podcast, let me tell you something. This is a great spot for your company. If you want to reach men between the ages of 18 and 54, this is the place for your audiences. And here's something to consider. Recent surveys have shown that podcast listeners are 65% more willing to think seriously about purchasing products they learned about from podcasts. 60%, given equal price and quality, prefer to purchase from companies that advertise on their favorite podcasts. Our rates are very reasonable. Please shoot me an email, peter@peteredmiston.com. Shoot me a tweet @peteredmiston or a direct message, something like that. We can get all the information out to you. I'd love to have you on the podcast, become part of our family, and reach all those great folks out there that are listening. Thank you so much. You have been Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily podcast on the Memphis Grizzlies, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.